Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Add This to Your List. This is episode 54, and much like Studio 54,
yes.
This podcast is a party. Woo! Did you like that?
I did like that. I did.
Minus the cocaine and sex.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You don't know what's happening in my house.
Oh, God.
What happens in L.A.?
I don't do cocaine. I said no to drugs. Just
good.
Say no.
That's very L.A., so I'm glad you're
She's not so Nancy Reagan.
The full L.A. experience. All right, listeners, well, you have heard our voices. Let me introduce you to everyone. She puts the fun in her name, Fumi.
Hi. Hey, Boo. How you doing?
Hi. And I couldn't really think of anything, like, fun for Tom. So here's Tom.
Yeah. What an intro, man.
What can I say? He's our Tommy boy. He's our, I don't know, but there's Tom over there as well.
That's me. Don't forget you.
And I'm MJP Mark. I'm one of your three fabulous co-hosts. And yeah, guys, wow. It's only been a week, but I feel like a lot has happened. I just got back from Alabama, working my ass off for the last couple days. How are you guys? How's life been?
Life is good.
Yeah.
It is, 50. It was in the 50s here today on the East Coast, so that was like, hey.
It's like a heat wave for you guys, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
For real.
Tomorrow's gonna be like 60. So. Hey.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
Hopefully it rains too, because I gotta get the salt off my car. So.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. And Foom, is LA? I feel like Are you not having good weather there, or did I?
It's
get
It's been
confused?
Raining since Friday.
But y'all need it, so.
Yeah, we do need it. I'm not complaining. I love it, but yeah, it's been like. Raining, pouring, sun's out, blue sky, pretty, rain again. And it's supposed to stop tomorrow.
Okay. I am totally behind on the groundhog. What did he see? Did he see
Spring is coming early.
Spring is coming early. Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Punxsutawney Phil, or however you say it. All right. I'm feeling that in the air. Well, guys, we have a packed episode tonight. We will first get into our H&H. Our headlines and housekeeping items. Celebrity Big Brother has their HOH. We have our H&H. Okay. And then we'll get into our list and we're going to break down some moments from the Super Bowl because that just happened and people are talking and we got some things to say as well. So some housekeeping items. We have some things in the news that are following up our previous discussions. Listeners, you'll remember that we last talked about the Oscars last episode and kind of just were talking about all their kind of weird decisions and rumors and stuff. And Fumi sent us an article that I thought was super interesting about those song nominations. If you remember, we were talking about, you know, how apparently there might not be five performances. It might just be like two songs and then the rest will be ignored. Fumi, do you want to tell us which celebrity apparently was very vocal about having all five songs in the mix on the show?
Gaga went gaga when she heard that not everybody was going to be performing at the Oscars, and she put her foot down. And
yes,
said, That's not fair. Mm-hmm. Everybody should be performing. And so now everyone is performing.
Good.
So do you think she's the hero, or do you think she did it to increase her chances of winning the Oscar for The Shallows?
Oh, wow.
I think she genuinely felt that that was wrong.
I think so too.
And said something.
Yeah. I think totally. I think I agree as well. I mean, I think she also is very smart and knows this makes her look good.
Totally.
Of course.
Totally.
You know, she doesn't want to be like the spoiled little whatever. So I'm sure, you know, that came to the mix. But yeah, that's just the best decision. Although I have to say, now I'm kind of annoyed because I thought Emily Blunt would be singing the Mary Poppins song, but now apparently she doesn't want to sing live. Like, come on, Emily.
Well, I mean, she's not a singer, you know?
She's not. However, can we all take a play from Gaga's book? Gaga sang that Sound of Music medley a few years ago, and everyone gave her a standing ovation. She she was nominated for that song, Till It Happens to You, that documentary, and sang on the show. I mean, Emily Blunt, if you want your Oscar nom, you might have to sing on the show like Gaga has done. I don't know. That's my advice, but... and then also, I thought it was interesting, the Oscars apparently are not bringing back last year's actor winners.
Yeah, that is so fucked up.
Because I guess they think Frances McDormand and Gary Oldman aren't big enough A-listers?
We clarify? They aren't bringing them on to announce this year's Best Actress, Best Actor, but they still are presenters, right?
But that's the tradition. I don't know. Like, you win your award, you get to present it to somebody next year. Like, this, it always goes to Best Actress from the prior year presents Best Actor of the current year, and that's kind of like a nice tradition, and I would be kind of miffed if I were an Oscar winner who didn't get to carry that into the next year, because it kind of puts you back in the spotlight for another year, really.
Yeah, it's a nice little touch of like, okay, you know, I won this last year, now it's your turn.
Yep.
I don't know, Foo, maybe they'll still be presenters, but I get the vibe that the Oscars are so focused on big, big, big that I don't know if they're invited back at all. I don't know. And then
you get a lifetime ticket to the Oscars if you've won?
Yes.
Don't you get automatically invited every year?
Yeah, you do.
I guess you have to at least sit and watch. I don't know if you're invited to present.
Yeah, no. No, right? You're not invited to present every year.
Wow. That's interesting.
Huh. Very interesting.
So did they say who's going to be giving away those awards?
Not yet, but if they're going for like big movie stars, like who would it be? I guess like Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks.
I mean, I don't know. They might be going for like the Chris Pratts and...
Yeah, maybe they're going for like more money makers, like Chris Pratt, Tom Cruise. I don't even know. I don't know. The Rock?
Tiffany Haddish, maybe.
So here's your award. I've never won any of it. I've never even been nominated, but I'm giving it to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't that really weird?
It's weird, yeah. So, I don't know. We continue to be confused. And then another item I wanted to bring up was, since we've talked about the really riveting Fyre Festival docs, Andy King, who was the now infamous event producer that was heavily featured in the Fyre Festival Netflix doc, as we know, he was getting ready to give a blowy to a stranger. He is actually, guys... True story, he's been getting offers for different water ad campaigns since it was all over getting water on the island, and might be getting his own reality show because of that. Is that not crazy?
So it's like, be a criminal.
Watch him on a reality show.
Right?
Be a criminal, get a reality show. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, like literally...
What would the reality show be about?
Apparently it would be him helping... real people pull off the biggest event of their dreams and see how he can do it. Which, that sounds fun, but like, is this the new sex tape? Like, years ago it was like, make a sex tape, now you get your own, like, show. Now it's like, say something fucking crazy and have no brain, and now you get your own show.
Did I just send you guys that video from Netflix when Netflix did, like, a post-interview with him? And he basically was like, I don't want to be a Mimi.
I don't want to be a what?
Oh, instead of a meme? Oh, Lord.
Oh, a meme? I was like, Mimi, like Mariah Carey?
That's so cute, little old people. I want to be a Mimi.
Oh, God. I don't want to be a Mimi. Oh, Lord. That should be the title of a show. Mimi. Mimi Maker.
I wonder if Netflix is the one who's offering it to him.
Maybe. I mean, you know, I sort of understand maybe the water ad campaign, but like, I mean, he might be popular for now, but I'm sure in a month people are going to be like, who's that guy? I don't know.
Exactly.
It all just seems so crazy that now from that moment where it's like, you should have said to your team, like, I am not doing that. You go do that if you want it so badly, you know? But anyway, now here he is fielding different offers and we can't get a sponsor for this podcast. no, it's okay. Anyway, so that's something I just thought was crazy. And we got some more housekeeping. We got some Ted Bundy update. Who wants to go for that?
No, you tell it.
I'll tell it.
Tom, you tell it.
So we talked about last week, Fumi was talking about the Ted Bundy tapes, the Netflix docuseries was on her list. And we briefly mentioned that Zac Efron is playing him in an upcoming movie.
Right.
Directed by the same guy who directed the docuseries, oddly enough. Surprise, surprise, Netflix picked up the Zac Efron movie at Sundance this week, and it will be on the streaming service at some point in the near future.
Nice.
So I think that kind of makes sense, actually. It's perfect marketing, if you will.
Yep, Yep, that makes such sense. And you know what's so interesting, Tom? I was looking up the filmmaker, Joe Berlinger, who did both those things. I didn't realize, he made those amazing Paradise Lost documentaries he's an Oscar-nominated documentarian. So he really is such an interesting talent. And on the flip side, I don't know if this is a bad sign, he also has written and directed a narrative film, and that was Blair Witch 2 back in the day, which a lot of people didn't like. So, and I think that was...
Hopefully he's grown.
Yeah, hopefully. He's done a ton of great, great, solid documentaries. I think that's his only other narrative film, so we'll see. But I mean, obviously he knows the Ted Bundy case extremely well. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm excited to see that one. And then last little housekeeping follow-up update. Yeah. Who wants to talk about Ryan Murphy?
Ryan Murphy. So we know that he had a deal with Fox and left it to go to Netflix.
Right.
And is making a ton of money doing that.
Yeah.
Well, turns out that he has paused on Feud season 2, and we loved season 1.
Yeah, sure did. Mm-hmm.
He can't think of what to do.
What happened to the Diana and Charles idea? You scrapped that?
I don't know, Tom. Let's ask Mr. Murphy. Mr. Murphy, what happened to the Diana and Prince Charles topic?
Our special guest of the evening is not Ryan Murphy, but maybe one day. Yeah.
Mr. Murphy, let us know. And so that is happening. So that's kind of been held on pause. And also, this is more so for me than you guys, because I don't know if you watch Atlanta, but we know how much I love the show, and it's been on my list in the past. Donald Glover is a busy, 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 busy man.
Totes.
And so Atlanta's third season has been delayed.
Wow.
Interesting. Okay.
But I don't see that lasting, because remember how HBO was going to delay Insecure for like a really long time, and now we're already on season 3?
Well, no, it's delayed because, as I just said, Donald Glover is a busy, 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 busy man, and he's touring, and he's doing the movie The Lion King. Oh,
okay, so it's not FX.
No, it's him. He's busy. Okay. Yeah. So the writers, just got back into the writer's room for Atlanta, so we'll see how long it takes them to start developing and mapping out the new season, and whenever Donald Glover's schedule opens up, hopefully that'll start soon, because I love my Atlanta.
I know you love it, and I know so many people that love it. I should really watch it. That one episode looked really scary, where he was in the face.
It was scary.
I want to watch that at least.
It was a scary episode.
But you know what's great about that, Foom? I totally know what you mean, where it's like, damn, now I have to wait longer. But I do love how at least the premium cable nowadays, these networks and studios are willing to wait for their stars and their creatives.
They want the quality over the quantity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that it's like, all right, if it won't air until 2020, at least, you know, it'll be good. It'll be worth it, you know? So that's
agreed.
Cool. Yeah, interesting. And a little bit of, just to tack on to that Ryan Murphy news, I just read just a couple hours ago on my way home from work that apparently Ryan Murphy is teasing a Scream Queens reboot. Apparently.
Yeah, I just saw it on Facebook before we got into recording.
I guess he posted on his social, he was talking to some of the stars and wants to potentially bring it back. So I wonder if that's just all talk. I mean, I enjoyed it. We all talked about it long ago in the past when it was airing. You know, it was fun. It wasn't great. But I wonder if maybe he's now taking that to Netflix. Who knows, right?
Well, I guess on Netflix he can do more. He can go edgy with it.
Right, which would work for that show. I feel like you could do nudity. You could play up the blood and cursing and all that. So, I don't know. We'll see. That's kind of interesting. I mean, I don't think anyone's, you know, dying for it. Haha, dying. Get it?
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see about that. Maybe next time when Ryan Murphy returns our calls, he'll tell us and we'll tell all of you. Breaking news. And then the last little headline I wanted to bring up was, it was a quiet Sundance Film Festival this year. I feel like we didn't really hear, or at least I didn't really see a lot of stuff popping up on my social. We all were kind of a little out of it, but Sundance did happen. It just ended.
I think the reviews are really good too.
Yeah.
Like things coming out of there.
Totally. Oh, yeah, of course, right? Always. This year it seemed to have a really good crop, although it is interesting that Robert Redford started off the festival, if you guys heard about this, basically saying, I'm done. I don't really want to, you know, this
tired.
Festival's huge. Yeah, he's basically, as we know, he already retired from acting. He's like pretty much just closing all the doors and like ready to just enjoy the rest of his life. But yeah, it was interesting how he said like, you don't need me anymore. He made it seem like he actually wants to start something else or focus on something that needs more attention. I think he's like, this has become a whole thing. So I thought that was interesting. But just to really recap and tell you guys about some of these winners from Sundance. So the grand jury prize was the movie Clemency, starring Alfre Woodard. And she plays a death row worker who I guess becomes close with someone on death row. So that should be interesting. And the audience award went to a comedy called Brittany Runs a Marathon. And the tagline or the little IMDb plot for that I thought was interesting. A woman living in New York takes control of her life one block at a time. So keep those two in mind. And then on the doc side, grand jury prize for U.S. documentary is a film called One Child Nation, and the audience award, Knock Down the House, which I think is a political documentary. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, so we'll be seeing and hearing about those films, I'm sure, later in the year as they come out. And apparently it was also a good year for female filmmakers. A lot of female directors, I guess, made these films that were really recognized at the end of the festival awards. So go, girls.
Cool.
That's right, ladies.
That's right. And with that, I think that's enough chit-chat about the headlines. Let's get into the list.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's go with Tom. Why don't you take it away?
All right. First thing on my list is Velvet Buzzsaw.
Ugh.
It is a Netflix film, a horror film, I guess you can kind of say. Pun intended, it was buzzed about, see what I did there, for a couple of weeks ago when the trailer dropped. We all saw it and we were kind of like, oh, we're intrigued.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I checked it out because it came out just this past Friday on Netflix. It stars quite an impressive cast. It stars Jake Gyllenhaal, Rene Russo, Toni Collette, Billy Magnuson, John Malkovich. Am I missing anybody?
Those are the biggies. Oh, Natalie Dyer, who everyone knows from Stranger Things. You might not know her name, but she's Nancy from Stranger Things.
Oh, that's where she's from.
Oh, yeah,
I could
she's
not
so
place
cute.
It. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So all those people, right? So you're thinking, okay, this is going to be a good film. The plot line is essentially they are all part of the art world community. They are, you know, owners of galleries, and they put together the shows that exhibit at galleries and such. And one of the girls who works at one of the galleries, she lives in a building, and her neighbor on the third floor dies. So one night she goes into his apartment, and she finds a shit ton of really creepy but intriguing but visually captivating art, and she steals it because he has nobody. There is no heir, really, and in fact, the landlord was told that he should just throw away everything in the apartment. So she's like, you know what? This art is pretty cool. I'm going to take it. And so she takes, I think she ends up with hundreds of pieces that this guy, Vetrel Dees was his name, was creating over the years of living in this apartment, brings it into the gallery. All the art world critics fawn over this work. And so they decide to try and commoditize it and make some money off of it. Well, people who are involved in that little scheme start dying, and the paintings start coming to life. Sounds super creepy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I'm going to say it's an okay to miss.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. No bueno. For two reasons, essentially. Number one, it's not scary in the least, and I'm thoroughly confused as to why all of these actors and actresses were attracted to the script. I mean, maybe it just worked better on, maybe it worked better on paper. You know, when you read something, sometimes it's really scary. And then when you try and execute it on film, it just doesn't work out that way. But the second reason why it just didn't work for me is it's super meta for art world people. And I am not an art world person. So I could see why people who are in that world would dig it. I mean, it's definitely making the satire is there and the commentary is there. It's essentially saying stop taking art for more than what it is. You know, stop trying to make money off of art because you're killing the idea of art itself. But it just did not work for me. The performances are good. I mean, Toni Collette had a fucking ball playing her role yeah. with that fucking blonde bob wig.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah, she's great.
So good. Jake Gyllenhaal was super committed to his role, although I have to say, guys, he's not aging too well at all.
His face looked weird, but his body, I mean, that's the only...
Oh, my God, yeah. When he was sitting there naked with that laptop, I was like, can you move that laptop, boy? Like, just an inch?
The only reason to watch the movie is to see him just without clothes on, basically.
Yeah. But yeah, I did not enjoy it. About an hour into the movie, the killings don't start happening until a very long time into the film. I almost gave up, but then I decided to stick it through just because I wanted to see if it was going to go anywhere. It was so underwhelming, and I think, Mark, you had the same experience, right?
Totally, yeah. I was excited, although if you guys remember when we chatted about the trailer a few weeks ago, I was worried because I thought the trailer gave way too much away, and I was... Correct.
You were.
It's just like you took all the surprises away. Everything was very predictable. The only thing that scared me, and I'm not giving anything away, this is in the trailer if you see it, is that robotic man. I wanted.
Oh
that.
Yes, that was creepy.
That was a creepy thing, and I wanted more of that because basically, it's a shame because the movie does have good ideas, and I did like this ripping apart of these pretentious people. It is very much a comedy. I don't really want to say horror comedy because it's not really, I mean, it's horror, but it's like C-list, like it's like a trash horror movie but with like this nice shiny A-list sheen on it, right? But yeah, it
looked beautiful. The film was shot beautifully,
right?
It was very sleek and
totally
glitzy looking, and like,
right,
you said, the idea is great.
Yeah, and maybe it just looked great on paper. You know, these actors had such great lines to say, so that's probably what drew them to it. Like, oh my gosh, I get to be a bitch and say all these crazy things. But it really, like, I kept looking at the time. I was like, this movie feels like it's 3 hours long because there are way too many fades to black. And I've always thought that. When a movie has too many fades, that takes the energy right out of the room. I don't know why they did that. And I just found it to be very predictable. Whenever anyone was alone... It's like, okay, something bad's going to happen. And guess what? Something bad happens. So, yeah, good try, I guess. But, I agree with you, Tom.
I'm
Skip.
Surprised.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm surprised.
I think check it out. I wouldn't call it a skip that shit, but I think it's okay if you never end up getting to it.
Yeah. Foom, you'll probably watch it, and you'll probably be like, the next day you won't even think about it.
Oh, okay. I get that.
You know? Yeah.
But the good news is, the second thing on my list is True Detective Season 3. Mm-hmm. So I have a very interesting relationship with this show because I watched Season 1 all the way through, and I dug it. I know people thought it was way too philosophical, way too metaphysical. Instead of being a true crime show, a lot of people felt like it was aiming for too much by trying to, you know, delve into all this philosophy at the same time. Mm. They just wanted the murders and all of that. But I liked Season 1 enough, and then I decided not to check out Season 2 when I saw just how badly both critics and audiences were shitting all over the premiere. And I'm not a huge Vince Vaughn fan at all, so that kind of killed it for me, and I did not see any of Season 2.
I forgot he was in Season 2.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He sure was. And I love Rachel McAdams, but my hate for Vince Vaughn canceled out the love for Rachel McAdams.
How funny. Yeah. Wow. That's some hate right there.
Yeah, but then when I heard Mahershala Ali was going to be part of Season 3, and then I heard the plot line, which was super intriguing, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to check this out. So Season 3, Mahershala Ali plays a detective down in Arkansas, and he is partnered with Stephen Dorff, who both of them are fantastic in their roles. They're super good.
I kind of have always liked Stephen Dorff, even though I feel he's sort of messy. Like, he's sort of like...
But he's sexy messy, you know?
Yeah. He's like trashy, but like, you like him.
Yeah.
Right?
So they are a pair of detectives down in Arkansas, and the story is split into three different time periods. 1970s, then the late 80s, early 90s, and then present day.
Ah.
So you get to see each of those characters in each of those time periods. But basically, in the 1970s, two kids, a brother and sister, go missing a week after Halloween. Mm. And Ali's character and Dorff's character are brought in onto the case to try and figure out where they went, what happened. One of the kids is found murdered. The other is missing. And that's all I know so far, because season 3 will be 8 episodes. As of this recording, 5 have aired, and I've seen 4 of the 5.
Oh, wow.
So okay. This is what you know. And then the case is reopened 10 years later, so that's the late 80s, early 90s. And then in the present day, Mahershala Ali, who's an old man at this point, is being interviewed by a group of documentarians who are doing some kind of true crime documentary, because that's very in right now. You see a lot of shows taking advantage of that, right? Even Halloween did that with the podcasters trying to interview Laurie Strode. So I feel like that's a very common motif right now. I'm going to say season 3, add this to your list. It is very good. It gives you just enough each episode to keep you coming back for more.
Okay.
Mahershala Ali is, I mean, he is a fucking revelation. He is.
Wow.
Yeah, he is something. He's a talent.
He is just having such a moment.
He's having a moment.
A few years of a moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. He is so, so good. So captivating. You can't take your eyes off of him when he's on screen. I love how they toned it down this season. So they kind of ditched the metaphysical stuff, all the philosophical stuff. And they're just giving you a straight up true crime as of right now, at least.
Oh, I'll like that then.
It's shot really well, really beautifully. It's got some like gritty, dark feel to it. Mammy Gummer, Meryl Streep's daughter, is in a supporting role, and she's awesome. Nice. Actually, I didn't recognize her, and I had to look it up on IMDb. So she totally disappears into the role. I think they're on the right track. It's a good season, and it's smart. And it's interesting. All of the racism stuff is very subtle. It's not too in your face, right? Because obviously, as a black man in Arkansas in the 70s, he was going to face some kind of, you know, roadblocks and hurdles because of his race. But that stuff is all very subtle. And I like the way they did that instead of just throwing it in your face, which a lot of people said Green Book did. So it's interesting that he did 2 movies like that, and one tends to be more in your face, and this show is more subtle with its race issues. But yeah, I so far I have all good things to say about season 3 of True Detective. I think HBO was smart to take a 2 or 3 year break.
Yeah, it's been a while, right?
Yeah, and it's the same executive producer who did season 1 and season 2, Nick Pizzolatto. He's back. So they just took their time. They, you know, took a minute, let things breathe. They made sure they had a story that was going to, you know, attract a lot of people in. And I think they're doing a good job. So add it to your list. I don't think you'd be disappointed.
Cool. That's good to know, Tom. And for those of us who haven't seen season 1 and 2, we won't be confused at all.
Not at all. There's somehow, no connection whatsoever.
They're standalone seasons, right?
Totally.
Yeah, okay. They're anthologies. Yep.
Yep.
I don't know. I can't get into True Detective.
I know. It's weird, right? Like, I didn't even try season 2, but I tried the first season. I think we watched a couple episodes, and everyone I knew was, like, going crazy over it, right? And I thought it would be right up my alley, but I just couldn't get into it. But maybe we'll try this, Tom. Thanks for that recommendation. Yeah. Foom, what you got?
Okay, so I have one thing on my list this week. It is Russian Dolls on Netflix. It's Natasha Lyonne and Amy Poehler and one other woman who's a part of it.
I think Leslie Headland?
Headland, yes. Yes, her.
Okay.
So it's their creation. It is 8 episodes. It is less than 30 minutes each.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Comedy?
I guess it's supposed to be. It's a dramedy.
Okay.
Dark comedy?
It's a dark comedy for sure. I'm going to say it's an added to your list. I only got through the first 2 episodes. Essentially what it is Natasha Lyonne plays Nadia Volvakov, a Russian woman who basically dies and goes through Groundhog Day every single day. She relives her death and the day of her death every day.
Now, I wonder, how is this? Is this sort of like Happy Death Day?
Happy Death Day. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
You know, I can't say it is yet because I haven't watched enough episodes to really know if I can compare the two.
Okay.
Happy Death Day, I think, leaned a lot more on the comedy.
Right, right.
Versus this is, well, here, this is a premise. Nadia it's her 36th birthday. She dies on her 36th birthday. She's a New Yorker. She's she does coding. She's like an engineer who does coding. And we start off with seeing her life at her birthday party. Her friend offers her a joint, and you know, it's very central to the episodes. What's in the joint? The joint messed me up. What's in it? Like, I lost track of how many times went back and asked that question. And so she's convinced that this horror that she's living, where nobody believes her, that she keeps reliving the same day over and over and over again, is all related to this joint, and she's having this bad reaction to it. Hmm. The reason why, I guess, I don't compare it to Happy Death Day, and what I find a little strange about this show is that it's supposed to be the day of her birthday, the death. Mm-hmm. But in, I think, the second episode, we got the next morning. So it's like a little weird. Like, I haven't really gotten on whether or not there's a certain time frame she has where she has to die.
Oh, interesting.
And it's not necessarily like the night of her birthday.
And is she killed? Do we know,
Well, this is in the trailer, so I guess I can show you. Like, she gets hit by a car.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So she gets hit by a car, but that's not to say that every death is the same thing.
Ah, I see. Interesting. Okay, yeah. So it is a little Happy Death Day-ish, but okay.
It's interesting. It's funny. There are moments where I laughed, and then there are moments where I knew I was supposed to laugh but didn't.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I like Natasha Lyonne, but I gotta say, she does this thing, and I've always noticed this about her acting, where she puts on this accent that's like not needed, and then it slowly goes away as she keeps acting more. And so when the first episode, her accent is so distracting.
It's kind of like that New York accent.
It's the New York Russian. I'm an old lady from New York City, haggard. She smokes 12 packs of cigarettes a day. Accent, and I'm like, Natasha, like, please just talk like you talk, like normally. Right. You know, right. You have an interesting voice on your own. Just
totally
go with that.
Totally.
And then she's got an assortment of characters, which, you know, it's the guy in the bodega, the ex, the one night stand, the best friend, the friend lesbian. Like, she hits all of the New York marks, really.
Mm. Okay.
The random dude, homeless guy across the street that she thinks she knows, but she doesn't know for sure if she does. Like, she hits those New York City, I guess, you know.
Demographics.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, add it to your list. It's interesting. It's not going to be a series that is going to take a lot of your time. Because like I said, I mean, you could knock it out in an afternoon if you wanted to binge it.
Mm-hmm. I do love a good half hour show. So that's great.
And I got to say, I love Natasha's hair. She's like this crazy redhead.
Yeah.
With like totally. The bangs, and it's like frilly. And even just for that, if you just watch it for her outfit and her hair.
Oh,
then you're good.
Okay, good visuals. Right. Cool. Yeah, I'm curious. I definitely want to check it out because that sounds like kind of crazy and fun.
And I did not know what it was about when I started watching it. I honestly had no idea. And if you're trying to figure out, well, where does the title of the show come in with like what happens in every day? It's like, you know, the Russian dolls or those dolls where you open one and it's the same doll underneath.
Yeah,
you keep opening
and
opening. So that to me makes sense.
Like totally. Yeah, I've seen that like poster in that in like magazines and stuff too.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Nice. So you'll continue watching Foom?
Yeah. I'll check it. I'll finish it out for sure.
All right. It's not like a tell me a story where a year from now you'll be like, I made it to episode 3.
That is hilarious because I forgot I even was watching that. So
shade. Oh my god. Okay. So I'll wrap up our list. I have two items. First item, guys, is the big movie by M. Night Shyamalan called Glass.
I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Which
you
Fumi
know
said
what I...
was the worst sequel ever before it ever even came out.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, Fumi, did you see it? You guys haven't seen it, right?
No
interest.
None.
You ain't missing nothing. Don't see it.
Yeah, I hear that ending is ridiculous.
Don't see it. If I didn't have Cinemia or MoviePass or whatever, I would be so upset that I paid that, you know?
Not even Sarah Paulson saved it?
Oh, I have to tell you, Tom, I'm about to get real, real. I like Sarah Paulson a lot. I think she's great. I just wanted her off the screen. She was so annoying this whole goddamn movie. The way she spoke, she just was so affected, and she's very pale and has this red hair. And I'm like, stop trying to steal Natasha Lyonne's look.
I want to hear about this movie.
Okay.
Before you get into Sarah.
Yep. Okay.
Tell us.
All right. I'm going to tell you. All right. So, I'm disappointed, but it's not like I'm a huge, huge fan. I mean, everyone knows M. Night Shyamalan is like the epitome of a fall from grace. He started off great and slowly got worse and worse, and every now and then had a little bit of a spike in his roller coaster ride of life, and this is definitely one of the lowest. I have to say, guys, this definitely matches The Happening, if not, maybe.
Oh, damn.
Is worse? I don't know. It's at least, I'm going to just say it's at least on the level of The Happening. So what I thought was so really genuinely really cool about this movie is it is merging. It's the trilogy, the third part of a trilogy, and it's merging two different storylines that we had no idea were even connected, right? He had Unbreakable back in like around 2000, 2001.
Yep.
I was an extra in a deleted scene in Unbreakable, and that deleted scene was in the movie, but I was cut. So just letting everyone know, you won't see me in this film like I thought I might have seen myself. But so there's Unbreakable in the early 2000s, and then, of course, Split. A couple years ago, huge success, pretty good movie, pretty scary at times, you know, even if they did sort of paint people with, you know, split personality disorder in a bad light. So we pick up, basically, I think by now, if you haven't seen Split, you are okay with a spoiler. At the end of Split, we see Bruce Willis from Unbreakable in the post-credits scene, and now we realize it's all in the same universe in Philadelphia. So Glass picks up a couple weeks after the end of Split. So James McAvoy's character, basically he plays a whole bunch, but that character Kevin had, you know, kidnapped and killed some girls. He's now kidnapped some more girls. He's on the loose in Philly. And what I really liked the beginning. David, played by Bruce Willis, who was in Unbreakable, his son, the same actor who played his little boy in Unbreakable, they work together as a team. They're sort of like a little vigilante crime-fighting team in the streets of Philadelphia. They're kind of watching surveillance, that whole thing. David's special, you know, superhero power is he can touch people and see what they've done wrong in the past, and he knows immediately if they're bad. So he kind of goes around the city and, like, does things his own way, right? He is able, basically, in the beginning of the movie, one of the best, really the only best parts, is he's able to come into contact with James McAvoy's crazy character, save some people, and then that's when Sarah Paulson enters. And so the whole movie, guys, I have to tell you, it's over 2 hours.
Oh, God.
It's over 2 hours. It's, like, 2 hours and 15 minutes. Probably about 2 hours too long. Most of the movie takes place in this mental institution that Sarah Paulson works in, and it's just not an exciting, like, setting. It's so boring. I'm like, when are these guys going to bust out? Because we see that in the trailer. They're outside. They're busting out. They're flying. They're, like, you know. The whole thing is that it's a modern, you know, real-world idea of superheroes, right? But it is not exciting. I got to tell you, I fell asleep, and I was trying to wake up and pay attention, and I just did not care. None of it made sense. I guess there were twists and turns, but no one around me was shocked. Everyone was, like, talking during the movie. It's true. People did not care. The most exciting thing was honestly just kind of seeing different supporting players from these different movies interact with each other. Like the lead girl, who was also in The Witch. Anya Taylor, she's great. I like her a lot. She is back and she's interacting with Bruce Willis's son and I'm blanking on her name, but this great actress who was in Pose as the dance teacher. She is in it as Samuel L. Jackson's mom, although her makeup is laughable. I mean, they really tried to age her because she's supposed to be really, really old, and she looks like a frog. It's weird. Anyway. And the whole movie is called Glass, right? It's called Glass because that's Samuel L. Jackson's character. He is Mr. Glass. His superpower is that he's really just smart, but he is so breakable. You tap him and he's in crazy pain and his bones break. He's kind of very, very supporting. He's doing some mastermind shady stuff, but like, I don't know, guys, it's not good. It's boring. It's boring, boring, boring. And it's a shame. It could have been so cool, but M. Night Shyamalan totally missed the mark. I gotta say, if he's gonna continue making movies, I need the studios to like actually meet with him about his scripts and seriously give him real feedback, because these scripts do not work. Or better yet, don't write your scripts anymore or have a writing partner.
Didn't I send you that article where it was like M. Night Shyamalan? What did that article headline say? Something about him shouldn't be allowed to write his own scripts.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be allowed to direct scripts he wrote or something.
Amen to that. Amen to that. So,
I mean, Mark, I gotta say is I told you so.
Yeah, totally, totally. That's the thing. I'm not surprised. I knew going into it, especially when I went to one of those AMC, it's funny because I just got done telling you guys I rarely ever go to AMC. I went to an AMC dine-in movie theater in Alabama one day after work, and I'm like getting a beer, and the bartender was like, what are you seeing? I'm like, I'm gonna see Glass. And she goes, oh. And I was like, it's not good. She's like, the beginning's good. And I was like, that's it? She's like, that's it. And you know what?
So is it a skip that shit?
Is it a skip that shit?
Be honest. Come on.
Honestly, I don't know. It pains me to say it because he's a Philly boy, and I really like the concept. So I think because of the concept, I'm being very, very generous here, M. Night. It's not a skip that shit. I mean, when it's on TV, watch it. There are some fine moments, but it is so okay to miss. If you ever watch it, you'll remember the previous movies. If anything, it made me only want to rewatch Unbreakable because it's been a long time since I saw it. And Robin Wright was the mom in Unbreakable, and she was great in that movie. She is not in this movie, and if anything, they have it just was like, why even bother? Semi-spoiler alert, I don't think anyone really is wondering if Robin Wright is in Glass, but her character has died, and in a flashback, they have a woman with her back turned. Just a stand-in with like with her hair the same length as Robin Wright's. It's just like, just give it up. It was just sad. So definitely skip Glass. It's not worth it. But on a good note, much like Tom, going from not so good to good. On a good note, guys, I finally watched this new show that just premiered earlier this month on Fox called The Passage. And if you remember...
That was your script.
Yes, good memory. If you remember last year, almost a whole year ago, we did, which I think we should do again, each of us picked a pilot script to read and kind of, you know, figure out and, you know, see if it would be good. And that was a pilot I had picked to read. And it's based on a series of books. I want to say it's like a trilogy of books. And I got to say, guys, add it to your list. I like it. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be a priority for me, but it's well shot. It's a good sci-fi action semi-horror, but if you are out there thinking, I don't really want to watch another horror show, it's not that scary. It's actually more of a drama. But so The Passage, we're about maybe four episodes in, so I watched the first episode, and I really enjoyed it. It's Mark Paul Gosselaar, who's, I've always thought, always pretty likable. He's a federal agent that is actually protecting a young girl who is played by a great little actress. I don't recognize her. I think this might be her first big thing. I'm going to butcher her name, but it looks like it's Sania Sydney. She's great. She's around maybe 12, 13 years old. Really good little actress. She's going to be around for a while. And they kind of have a nice little father-daughter thing going on. So
my dad said the chemistry between them is amazing.
Oh, good. Yeah, totally. It's really, really heartwarming and nice. And basically, you learn that Mark Paul Gosselaar, he plays this federal agent, Brad Wolgast. Brad and his sort of basically ex-wife lost a child, and they're still dealing with it. It's been a couple years, and it's sort of separated them, but they still very much love each other. They're like kind of, you know, estranged. And so he is supposed to bring this young girl to this facility, Project Noah. It's set in the near future, and Project Noah is working on this crazy, dangerous virus that they're actually hoping will cure all disease in the future. But it's so dangerous that as they're testing it out, it's turning people into zombie vampire people. So there is some blood. you know, it's not too bad. It's Fox, but you know, it is. It's some creepy monster stuff. It turns people into monsters, so that's why, of course, I was into it. And so the scientists there are saying it's actually better to get younger and younger test subjects because they'll be able to, you know, handle the virus and be able to, you know, be amazing superhumans, right? So they're like, we need like a young, you know, orphan. And of course, that's an ethical issue. It's like this kid's not even 18 years old. So in comes Amy, played by Sanaa Sidney. And she's an orphan, just lost her drug addict mom. And so that's when Mark Paul Gosselaar's tasked to bring her in. But immediately he feels like this is so wrong. This girl should not be doing this. She has her whole life ahead of her. And that's where they go. They're on this journey. They're on the run from these scientists that are also kind of controlling the government. So like the FBI is trying to get them, and it's fun. I thought it was exciting and it's shot well. And I think there's going to be some good suspense coming up. I don't know.
It's not corny.
It's not corny. No, I didn't find it corny at all.
Okay.
Mm-mm, no, it's serious. And the makeup's cool. And like I said, there's a little bit of, you know, blood action. And I feel like there's going to be some twists because there's one guy who has the virus who used to be one of the scientists, and he seems super smart and savvy. So, yeah, I think there's going to be some good surprises. I like it. Again, I don't think, I'm going to be like, oh, my God, a new episode's out. I got to watch it immediately and stop everything. But I definitely want to keep it on my radar for sure. Because
I'm going to have to try to go back because I watched the first two episodes and I was bored by it.
Oh, really? Okay, Fumi, you didn't like it.
I didn't like it. I didn't hate it, but I guess my thoughts are this. It's like so like old now to do the whole zombie blood sucking storyline, like been there, done that 10 years ago kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then if you're going to do it, like I guess it's unfortunate that they have to like make it not as graphic as it could potentially be.
Right, right. Yeah. Because,
like, obviously, The Walking Dead, that really goes there. And then you have that show on FX,
The Strain.
It's over, but that went there.
I couldn't even watch The Strain. Bloody. It was so gross. Yeah, that was too much for me. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I felt like, I mean, and I like Mark Paul Gosselaar, and he's been trying to do some things for a few years now, and it hasn't really worked for him. I didn't hate the show, but I was just like, eh.
Okay.
Like,
what's
new here?
Yeah,
you know?
I totally hear
you. How is this groundbreaking in any way?
Totally. I hear you. I think that makes total sense. Yeah.
And doesn't he deliver her to the science people?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know yet. You're a little farther than I am.
No, I did. I only got the first two episodes. I thought he delivered her to the scientist on the second episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I only watched the first. So,
oh, spoiler. I thought you said you were in four. Sorry, I thought you were said you watched the first four episodes.
Oh, no. Four have aired, I think, now.
I
only watched the first one, yeah, just to compare it to the script. Okay. So, yeah, maybe once I get a little further in, I'll be like, all right, yeah, I've seen enough, you know. It's definitely not a skip for me. I feel like there's something there. I'm kind of into it. I think also I just kind of like the nice little drama between these two people, a kind of, I don't want to say middle age, but, you know, white man in his 40s. Sorry, Mark Paul. You make middle age look great. No shade at all. I mean, he's, you know, he looks great. But, you know, like a 40-something white man and like a 12-year-old black girl and how they're bonding and having these touching moments. I kind of like that with the backdrop of like this futuristic sci-fi, you know. So we'll see. I'll keep you posted if I end up being like, eh, never mind. But yeah, I say for the time being, add it. Check it out. And Tom's dad loves it, so there.
There we go.
All right. So just to recap that list, we had Velvet Buzzsaw on Netflix, skip. Or was that, I'm sorry, Tom, did you say skip or okay to miss?
Okay to miss.
Okay to miss. Yeah, I agree. There's some things there. Yeah, okay to miss. Don't skip that shit, but you know. So that was Velvet Buzzsaw, and then we had True Detective Season 3 starring Mahershala, which is an ad, which I definitely want to check that out, Tom. I'm glad you liked it. Also an ad, and also on Netflix, is Russian Doll, starring good old Natasha Lyonne, with all of her Russian New York accent. That is an ad. not an ad at all is Glass, okay to miss M. Night's latest. No surprise there. The big twist is that you'll fall asleep. and an ad, at least in my opinion, but Fumi disagrees, but that's all right. Let's see if I will move on to agree with her. The Passage on Fox, I say give it a go. Now, guys, before we wrap up episode 54, we got to talk about Super Bowl 53. It was apparently the lowest rated Super Bowl in 10 years.
Isn't it history?
I saw in 10 years.
I saw in 10 years too. But also, let's just be real. It's the lowest rated, yet it like still got 98 million viewers. I just think that's so funny.
Right,
it's like, come on, perspective. Only 98 million.
Right.
And it was also, I guess, I think it made history, Fu, maybe you're thinking.
It was the lowest scoring.
For lowest scoring, yeah. It was not a very eventful game, right? But, yeah, New England Patriots won again.
It was so funny because before we watched the game, my friends and I were, like, taking bets, like, what's the score going to be? And we were, like, 37-22 or 37, like, 42-30.
Totally.
It was like fourth quarter, 3-3. I was like, I'm so bored.
I'm so happy I did not watch any of it live. Like, because I feel
Oh my God.
But guys, let's get into the halftime show. What did you guys think of Maroon 5?
So I thought it was fine. Like, so I like Maroon 5's music.
Yeah.
I'd love Adam Levine to look at.
Oh, I know. But
I'm not like a diehard Maroon 5 fan. I don't buy their albums. So, you know, if a song comes on the radio that I like, I'll listen to it. I won't change the station or anything like that. And I thought I had seen them in concert once before, was not impressed by them.
Oh.
I thought the halftime show was fine, but then I saw everybody talking about how boring it was immediately after that. And I was like, oh, I guess it kind of was. It was like it was lifeless.
Mm. Yeah, it was very.
I cannot believe you watched that halftime show and thought it was good. Are you kidding?
I thought it was fine. Yeah, I thought it was fine.
Yeah, yeah, I agree, Tom. I mean, I thought the beginning of it was like, oh, they're just there. They're not even gonna make an entrance. Like everyone makes a fucking entrance. Madonna came out with like her whole like band on the field, and Gaga flew from the sky, and they're just there. Yeah. What'd you think, Foom? You hated it?
I thought tackle on the fact that the entire show was boring. The entire game was boring. So halftime show, okay, Maroon 5 is going to come out. They're going to light it up. They got Travis Scott, Big Boy. They're going to bring the energy. The teams are going to come back out and pick up the second half. I like Maroon 5. I'm a huge fan of theirs. I love their music. Their latest album, Red Pill Blues.
That was on your list.
On my list. Great album, great songs. This is what happened. Maroon 5, you guys know that the controversy between the Super Bowl and football in general.
And kneeling and all that,
and,
yes, of course.
You know, the NFL went after a lot of artists to perform the halftime show. They all said no. Maroon 5 said yes, and I think Maroon 5 was just too in their head. They have a lot of connections and relationships with a lot of artists that said no. Jay-Z didn't want Travis Scott to do the halftime show. He was trying to talk him out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that Maroon 5 was just like, they wanted to do the halftime show for exposure, but at the same time, they didn't want to destroy the connections that they have in the music industry.
They just played it too safe.
But I also think Adam Levine was too in his head. Like, he came out, he was so stiff. And I'm like, dude, you're a boy who's got effing rhythm. You're hot. Work the camera. Like, your sex appeal. Let him know.
Yes, totally. And luckily he did loosen up a bit and he was like shaking the pelvis and everything, but it's just like, come on, you have a song, Moves Like Jagger. Like, fucking move. Like, rule that stage.
Blah. Like, I was just like, ugh.
And I was watching it
and I was bored. And then I was like, oh God. I was like, I knew people were going to destroy them. I know the articles in the trades and the papers. I knew Twitter was going to light their asses on fire. It was awful. I felt bad for them.
Yeah, totally. No matter what, they couldn't have really won. But what'd you think about the removal of a shirt?
Why? I mean, it's so funny because I was like, he was so hot with the sleeve.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah.
And then he took off his shirt and I was like, oh no, you have a giant tattoo that says California.
I know.
I was like,
he didn't have that a couple years ago. I was like, that is distracting. Like when you look down, when you're peeing, you see California like on your stomach. What? But no, I just thought it was interesting because, you know, of course, yeah, like we were saying, he's an attractive man. He's in great shape. He's hot. Go for it. But like something about that felt uncomfortable. It was like, wait, whoa, right? It just felt kind of like this is a big show, like people, all kinds of people are watching. Janet Jackson has gotten in trouble for showing her goods, which I know is a little different, you know, but still, I just feel like maybe should nipples kind of not be on the Super Bowl, or do you not think it's a big deal?
I don't think it was a big deal, but I do get the Janet Jackson thing. I mean,
that's what a lot of people on social are saying, that it's like, oh, so Adam Levine can show his tits. But
then was Adam Levine trying to prove a point by doing that? Like, I was maybe just
no.
I don't think so.
That's looking into it way too much.
Yeah, I kind of got the vibe that he was just sweaty and was like, hey,
I'm taking off my shirt
because this is what I do. This is, I'm a rock star. I just wonder if maybe he should have just been shirtless from the get go or something. The whole removal just felt kind of weird to me. But you know, whatever. It was, I still liked it. It was cool. But yeah, I agree. I think also his guests were not all the most exciting, like Big Boy. I mean, it was fun, but I don't know.
Big Boy was the best part of that.
Yeah, Big Boy was.
He came out of the caddy.
I guess, yeah, no, he was. I just was, the whole time I was wondering, well, where's Andre 3000? But I know he's sort of like...
They're not together anymore. They don't do things together anymore.
They're like enemies? They're like not friends?
No, I don't know. I don't know about that, but they just haven't done anything together in a while.
Yeah. I think it's hard. I think when you have so much testosterone, you need like one girl. And I thought Cardi B was going to perform with him, but I guess not. She wasn't.
No, she wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, real quick, before we wrap up, you guys want to shout out a commercial or a trailer that you saw that you really liked? Did you guys see anything you were excited by?
Captain Marvel. Avengers.
Captain Marvel. All right. Totally. Avengers. Yes. I saw those. Oh, yeah.
And Twilight Zone.
I know, Foom. I thought of you. That was a great commercial.
That was such a good commercial.
How they like were glitching in the stadium. Yes. April already. I didn't realize it's so soon. That's gonna be good. Tom, what'd you see that you were excited by? Anything?
Believe it or not, Netflix's own version of Planet Earth, I guess they're doing one called Our Planet.
Oh.
Planet Earth to me is one of the best produced things that I've ever, still to this day, one of the best produced things I've ever seen on TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely love it. I remember when it came out, as big TV screens were becoming a thing, and totally. I bought it on DVD. I still own it on DVD. I've watched it 2 or 3 times in the decade that it's been out. Netflix is going to try their own foray into that, and I'm super here for it.
Yeah.
It looks beautiful.
I think that's a good idea, too. Totally. Yeah, that's nice. I love that. I feel like that's a good thing to, like, get high to.
Yep.
Right? and then I saw 2 things that I really loved. Of course, I let you guys know as soon as I saw it. I thought it was just so fun that Sarah Michelle Gellar was in that Olay killer skin ad, even if it was a little cheesy. Did you guys watch the full commercial?
Too cheesy, yeah.
It was cheesy, but I loved it. And I thought it was great that they're trying something new. It was Olay's first ad. And of course, we all know women obviously are watching the Super Bowl as well, so might as well give them something. But I just thought it was so fun to like see a little mini horror movie, and who better to, you know, play the Scream Queen other than SMG, right? And she's looking great. And then also Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. I totally forgot that movie's coming out later this year. They had fun little teasers that were gross and scary.
The spider
so.
And that woman's
Yes,
cheek.
That was so
nasty.
Good. That was so good.
Oh,
oh my God, I can't wait. Yeah, so that'll be fun. All right, and I think that's it. Any other thoughts, guys?
No.
I think that's a wrap. So that's episode 54 of Add This to Your List. Love it, hate it, add it, skip it. And we hope you are adding this to your subscriptions and your follows on Spotify and all that good stuff. So thank you very much. Thank you, Greg, Jay, and Allie. Thank you, guys. And we'll see you on social, and we'll have another episode next week.
That's right. Bye.
All right. Ciao.